Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
As parents well know, starting good nutrition practices early can really help children develop healthy dietary patterns that can last them a lifetime. But as a parent of two children, I know how tough it can be to get your kids to eat healthy and to get them to choose healthier snacks when they're not with you. Here to help us with that today is Dr. Natalie Muth. She's a dual board certified pediatrician and obesity medicine physician and a registered dietitian. And she's the co-author of The Picky Eater Project, 6 Weeks to Happier, Healthier Family Mealtimes, published by the American Academy of Pediatrics. Dr. Muth, wow, that's quite a title and an intro. So you would be the most qualified to talk about this. So let's start with why it's so important that we start early with our kids, getting them to eat healthier. And just before you begin, when my kids were tiny, I started with the homemade baby food and having them help me in the garden and having them help pick vegetables and pull weeds, which they didn't love, but plant the seeds. And as a result, I do feel lucky because at 16 and 19, they eat everything and very healthy. For other parents, how do they begin?
Well, first, Melanie, thank you for having me. And I wouldn't chalk all that up to luck, because all the things that you did early on for your kids to help expose them to healthy foods and the things that you were doing with involving them in cooking and helping to pick the foods and grow the foods are all things we know from lots of research that ends up helping kids as they grow up into adults to like eating healthy foods and eating a variety of foods and getting plenty of fruits and vegetables. So you're a testament to the method.
Well, that's really good to know that it wasn't just a one-off or luck. However, you know, you still go through this and kids, they ebb and flow with the healthy foods. So why don't we start with little guys? When can babies start eating solid foods? And when they do, what do you recommend? I always tell people to start with avocado and smush it up with baby formula or breast milk because it's so good for them. But what do you tell them about first foods for babies that can help them learn texture and color and all those kinds of things?
Yeah, it's great that we're starting the conversation with when kids are first introduced to solid foods, because the first 6 months to a year or so of eating solid foods, which generally is the time frame between, you know, 6 months of age to 18 months to 2 years, kids are actually pretty open and interested to trying lots of different tastes and textures. And that early exposure to all of those different tastes and textures actually helps them to be less likely to be picky as they enter into those toddler phase of pickiness. So when starting first foods with babies, I agree with you. And in fact, I often will recommend to parents too, avocado is a great food to start with because you may have it at home. You can mush it up, add the breast milk or formula to thin it out if you need to. Bananas are also great, sweet potatoes. But really the truth is it doesn't really matter for the most part what food parents start with. We just generally recommend to start with a single ingredient food, make sure it's soft enough and small enough that the baby isn't going to have a risk of choking on it. And then as a baby tries new foods every few days, you can gradually over time be expanding the repertoire of different types of taste and textures that the baby's exposed to.
Well, thank you for that. So one of the things that as baby gets a little bit older is drinks. Now, the AAP joined leading health organizations to approve new guidelines for healthy drinks. Up until however long recently ago, it was, you know, fruit juice and juice boxes and all of these kinds of things. What do you want to tell us about that now, about healthy beverages?
Yeah, so the very best drink for babies really is breast milk or the formula until they're a year of age. However, at 6 months, it's a great time to start to offer some water, ideally like in an open cup or even a sippy cup. Most of the water may not make it actually to the baby's mouth, but it helps to introduce them early on to that plain taste of water. They learn to like the water, and it helps building some of their fine motor skills to be able to learn how to use the cup or the sippy cup. And then really, water, and then after 12 months when milk, cow's milk, is introduced, those are really the best drinks for baby. Babies really don't need anything other than that. The recommendations that came out were looking at kids from ages 0 to 5, and the main message is offer children water and plain unsweet milk. It does include, you know, a teeny bit of juice for babies, for kids older than age 1 might be okay, but really that's only if there's no other access to actual fruit. You're always better off eating the whole fruit rather than any juice. So really, I think the bottom line takeaway is kids should be drinking water and milk, and they don't really need a whole lot of anything other than that.
Well, now I want to back up for 1 second, because yes, I completely agree with you about eating the fruit or vegetable, but nowadays at all our stores, there's smoothies and green drinks. And, you know, it isn't like it used to be, Dr. Muth. What about if someone has a Vitamix and they put the apple in there and then they put a banana in there and then they add some carrot and some kale? Are these considered acceptable ways, because you're getting the fiber and you're getting everything too?
Yeah, and this is actually a great question, and it comes up with picky eating a lot too, because a lot of times parents will make these green smoothies or have these drinks that have a lot of different types of vegetables and fruits in them as a way to kind of get their kid to at least get some nutrition if they're not actually willing or not eating the actual fruit and vegetable itself. And, you know, that may be okay, but still it's actually better to get the nutrition from the food rather than getting it from the drink. When the vegetables are all blended up in the blender, there is, you know, so to back up, juice is just the juice, it's just the sugar from the fruit, which is not recommended.
True.
When
mm-hmm.
you're talking about smoothies where the whole vegetable or the whole fruit is put into the blender and blended up, then it still does have the fiber, but some of the fiber actually gets broken down through the blending process. And a couple other things to think about. One is the child no longer is tasting any individual vegetable or fruit. So they're not getting that exposure to the taste and texture of that food. And so we know it can take children 15 or 20 tries to like a food that maybe they rejected before, and they're not getting the try when they're having it in a smoothie because they're not tasting it. Mm. The other thing is when we're drinking nutrients, they don't make us feel as full as when we're actually eating the food. So by drinking a lot of the smoothies, not to say to never have them, but by drinking it actually either there's a little more risk of overeating potentially because kids are not feeling as full, even though there's a lot of those calories that are in the drink, or they are feeling full and they're less likely to be eating other foods. And through eating like fruits and vegetables, for example, that actually helps them to like the taste and texture if they're open to trying them. So not to say to never do the smoothies, but still really you're much better off in the long run of doing the water and milk and actually trying to get your kids to try and like fruits and vegetables in their whole form, where they can see what it looks like, see what its texture is, and also experience the taste.
What a great point. And I didn't realize that the fiber, some of it does break down in that smoothie. So thank you for clearing that one up. Now, as kids, you know, maybe we've been feeding them great, but then they become a toddler. And all of a sudden, they don't like the way that looks or the way it feels in their mouth. Or they're around another kids. And I'll tell you, Dr. Muth, at my kids' school, they had a saying, don't yuck my yum. And so you were not allowed to say to another kid, ew, you know, that looks gross. And so, but other kids do that. They go, ew, don't eat that. And then all of a sudden, your kid will never eat that again. So what do we do with our picky eaters? Give us your best advice, because every parent out there that has a picky eater wants to hear from you right now how to get them to eat vegetables, not just fruits, because kids eat fruit pretty readily, but not always vegetables. Best advice here, Doc.
Right. So they like the sweet in the fruit, but not the bitter as much in the vegetable. First of all, just note, this is completely normal part of development for a 2-year-old. In fact, there's even a name for it. It's called neophobia, which is this fear of trying new foods. So 2-year-olds, classic, everything you've described is very, very normal. And how long it lasts for, in many cases, can be determined by how we respond to it. So the best advice, this is what research shows us, this is kind of the by the book, what to do, but it's a process, is as a parent, you decide what foods are going to be offered to your child, at least in those places where you have control. So you're making sure to offer them the variety of healthy foods, trying to minimize some of the preferred foods, maybe like all the French fries and chicken nuggets, stuff like that. You decide what's offered, when it's offered. So trying to have consistent times for meals and snacks so kids are not grazing all day. And where, having the kids and the family, ideally the whole family together, sitting at the table whenever you can to eat whatever it is that's going to be eaten. And then this is the hard part for parents, allow your child to decide of what you offered them, what they're going to eat, and how much of it they're going to eat, and avoid your instinct to force them to eat their vegetables or push them or prod them or reward them or bribe them or be too invested in whether or not they eat it. Because what will happen is they're seeing you eating it and they're seeing their siblings eating it and they're having this consistent routine and these repeated exposures to these foods. Remember I said it takes 15 to 20 tries to like something. As they're having this routine, they actually will come around to trying the foods and liking the foods and eating the foods. And by the way, if they refuse to eat, and you've done this method and they refuse to eat, don't cater to their picky preferences and don't
rock
offer
on
them any other food. And they might go to bed hungry for a couple of nights, and they will learn very soon that what food is offered to them is their option. And a hungry child will eat. So they'll get hungry and they'll eat what you've given them because they know they don't have another option.
Absolutely great advice. And I, as a youngest child of six children, my mother said, I am not a line cook. I'm making dinner. You will eat what I serve or you will not eat and feel free not to. And boy, we learned but quick that you were hungry and you ate, even if you didn't like that she made brisket or she did, you know, you didn't like what she made. You had to eat it because that's what was there. So I agree with you there. Absolutely. Now, you've talked about waiting and introducing foods to kids and you've talked about trying these foods. Now, so some parents say, well, I've tried. I've done what they said. Should you try and be hiding the nutrition in, like you make an omelet or something and you sneak the spinach in there or in the smoothies or in something? Should we try and hide it or not really?
Yeah, great question. This is, you know, a strategy a lot of parents will do because they do feel really stressed out that their kid is not going to get enough nutrition. Kids are really smart, and if they'll figure out eventually that you're hiding it, and it's kind of a little bit deceptive, and so it can kind of break down the trust a little bit, and it's not necessary. Really, it isn't, because what happens is if you use other strategies like having the kids help you pick out the food or having them help you in cooking sometimes, or even if you have your own little herb garden or a bigger garden even in a yard, by kids being involved in the process of being exposed to and growing and trying and cooking healthy foods, they'll actually on their own choose to eat them. And as they have, and they may not like it when they choose to try it, but as being part of the process, they try it. And as they have repeated tries, they'll come around to liking it. So generally, I don't really recommend doing a lot of sneaky stuff. It's fine if you sometimes put, you know, things that kids maybe can't see in, you know, you're making zucchini muffins or something and they don't necessarily know it's in there. But I don't think it should be intentionally trying to hide it from them to get them to eat something, because it just, at the end of the day, it doesn't really get you that much further along in your goal and your mission to help your child to want to choose to eat healthy foods as they grow up. And then once they're not there with you anymore, to actually be healthy eaters and, you know, be successful beyond the time that they're living with you and you're in control of their food environment.
This time of year, it's hard to avoid getting sick, whether it's a common cold or the stomach bug. It's crucial to stay well hydrated. Hydrolyte is a great-tasting clinical hydration product that contains the correct balance of sodium, glucose, and water to rapidly replace fluids and electrolytes. Hydrolyte comes in great flavors like orange, berry, lemonade, and is available as a pre-mixed drink, a powder, or effervescent tablets that you can simply drop into a glass or a bottle of water. Compared to sports drinks, Hydrolyte delivers up to 4 times the electrolytes with 75% less sugar. Hydrolite solutions are appropriate for all ages, and each bottle or package includes easy-to-follow dosing instructions. You can find Hydrolite in the digestive aisle at Rite Aid or online at Amazon.com. Visit Hydrolite.com/podcasts to save 30% on Amazon with promo code HydraKid. That's Hydrolite.com/podcasts to save 30% on Amazon with promo code HydraKid. That's really great advice. And before we wrap up, as kids get to be teenagers, and I'm very careful with my daughter, you know, when you talk about foods, oh, don't eat that, it's fattening. You know, when we want to foster that love of healthy foods, when they're even like 8 and 9 and they're so, you know, they listen to every word you say about that stuff. So how important is it? And what words do you like to use where we can say, and it's a healthy model saying, oh, you know, would you like this instead of that? No, but, you know, to tell them how the foods can help them as opposed to hurt them, right? It's a positive message, not a negative one.
Yes, 100%. A positive message is key. And that goes to parents. You know, you don't realize it in every moment, but you are a very powerful role model and the kids are watching you. And that's for better, like when you're eating healthfully and you're physically active and you have lots of healthy habits. And it can be for worse if you're saying things that are negative about your own body, or you're talking about weight or things being fattening, stuff like that. Kids pick up on that and it can really cause there to be a less positive relationship with food and a positive relationship with their bodies and self-esteem. So I definitely recommend focusing on the positive, helping kids to learn what a balanced meal looks like, to understand that, you know, sugar is not healthy for their body, so we don't want to eat too much sugar because we want our bodies to be strong. But I recommend never really talking about it being a weight thing or ever like a diet or anything that's got a very negative feel to it. We really want to try to be as positive as possible, and also allowing there to be, you know, desserts are not terrible. It's not to say to never have a dessert. It's just kind of having a plan and a routine for it. So desserts are sometimes foods, and when we eat them, we enjoy them and we savor them and we don't feel bad about it.
And that's certainly true. Tell us about your book that you published with the American Academy of Pediatrics, The Picky Eater Project, 6 weeks to happier, healthier family mealtimes.
Yeah, so as we all know, picky eating is very prevalent and very frustrating for a lot of parents. So together with my co-author, Sally Sampson of Chop Chop Magazine, we put together really an evidence-based but fun plan that parents can go through to help their picky eaters to be more willing to try new foods and have fun in the meantime. There's a ton of recipes and a lot of really practical approaches to help make eating healthy and overcoming pickiness a really fun experience for the whole family.
Well, that's great. And as someone who, I'm going to give my own bit of advice here as an exercise physiologist, one thing I did with my kids was took them to the grocery store and said, okay, we're in the vegetable aisle. Everybody picks one, something you've never tried before, and we're going to do something with it as a family. We're going to figure out how to cook kohlrabi or how to, you know, make kale so that we all really like the way it tastes. So you can kind of make it a contest, listeners, and then it's kind of fun because really then your kids do try and outdo each other. And so that makes it fun. So Dr. Muth, last best advice, what would you like to tell parents?
My best advice really is to try to, as much as you can, take out all the stress around getting your kids to eat certain foods that maybe they're not interested in, and just really try to have family meals together, variety of different healthy foods, and then just enjoy the time together and invest in the process, and you will see a huge result without really having to say or nag anyone at all.
Absolutely great advice. Such an important topic these days, really, with the kids being inundated with junk food in the media everywhere they see it. So thank you so much for telling us about picky eaters. You can listen to this show and all of our Healthy Children shows at RadioMD.com. Of course, they're also on Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever podcasts are played. We want you to listen at RadioMD.com, and you can rate and review these things. That way we all learn from the experts at the American Academy of Pediatrics together. They are the gold standard, and we love our pediatricians here. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Melanie Cole, and stay well.